The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
We'll bring you some reaction to the proposed resignation of Paul Reid of the HSE a little later on in the programme. We've just got the news ourselves. We want to talk now, though, about housing and another reminder that prices are moving further out of the reach of people trying to get on the property ladder. Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and the party spokesperson on housing, local government and heritage, Eoin O'Brien, is joining me now. Eoin, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
I don't know whether you want to react to the news from Paul Reid. I must say I was quite surprised, if not shocked.
Yeah, I think that's the reaction many of us have had because the news has literally just broken. I mean, obviously, we don't know the full reasons why, but this is the latest in a line of senior losses that Stephen Donnelly has presided over, from Tony Holohan to Robert Glynn. There's talk about Robert Watt's future being in some kind of question. So there's clearly something going on and some problem in terms of the minister's relationship with senior officials. But look, we'll have to wait to hear more later as the story unfolds.
All right. Well, we'll attempt to find out exactly what's going on. He's not leaving his post until December, so there will be an orderly transition. And it is a very well-paid job, so perhaps there will be a raft of quality candidates who'll apply for that position. We shall wait and see. Anyway, we want to talk to you about housing. If Paul Reid's resignation was a shock, the Daft report wasn't much of a shock, not even a surprise.
No, unfortunately not. And whether it's their rent reports or the house price reports, the direction is the same, and it's ever upwards. We have 19 counties with double-digit inflation. The average price of a three-bed semi-D is now approaching €500,000. 9.5% increases across the state.
That's in Dublin City, South County Dublin. And then it's the next highest is North County Dublin at 412. But it goes all the way down to 137,000 for a three-bed semi in Donegal. And there's only one four-letter word for that, MICA.
Absolutely. And Donegal, for example, has the highest annual increases of 19%. So even though their house prices are lower for people, particularly people in those counties who would be on lower wages than folks in the cities, those increases are very significant as well. There was also an interesting REA report in the Irish Independent today. And what that confirmed was another very worrying trend, which is a very significant loss of single property landlords from the private rental sector selling into the owner-occupier market. And of course, that's one of the reasons why the homeless figures that were also published by the Department of Housing on Friday witnessed a 40% increase in child homelessness, 29% in homelessness.
The story is that the prices in parts of Dublin have softened because of the plethora of these mom-and-pop landlords, if you like, who are selling up. Do you think, though, that might have something to do with you? And the noises that you're making about, you know, not allowing people to sell their property and allowing tenants to sit forever. So landlords are saying, hang on, if Sinn Féin come to power, we're out of here. So they're actually getting out first.
So first of all, we're not saying that tenants can sit there forever or that people can't sell the property, the very opposite. What's important, however, is we now have had 4 years of semi-professional accidental landlords leaving the market. It has nothing to do with Sinn Féin. It's all to do with the failure of the government's private rental sector policy, but also very, very high house prices. Many people who bought a second property during the Celtic Tiger era did so not primarily for rental income, but as a pension lump sum. Those people are now cashing in, and the government, unfortunately, has no plan to address
that. It may be, by the way, they're only just out of negative equity.
Yeah, and again, the start of the loss of these rental properties was 2017, just as we moved from negative equity into positive equity for those Celtic Tiger era properties. We also have a lot of accidental landlords, people who never wanted to be a landlord but got trapped in negative equity, and those people are selling up. And the real problem, of course, is both with the house price report today and with the homeless figures and the loss of private rental stock, is that the one thing that the government can control, its own direct level of investment to deliver large volumes of social and affordable homes, is not being done at a sufficient level. We have a tiny number of affordable homes delivered to date by this government. that. They're 2 years in office today, and it's literally in the tens, not even in the hundreds. And social housing is way, way behind levels of need. So ultimately, the long-term solution to these crises is greater levels of direct state investment to deliver genuinely affordable homes to rent or buy for working people and social housing. You know, and that's not happening.
The supply at an affordable price obviously is the solution to this. But it's not like manufacturing widgets, you know, getting a planning permission, well, finding a plot, getting a planning permission for 20 houses or whatever a small builder might do, finding the labour and then bringing them to market. It's no matter how you do it, no matter who's in power, it's a slow business.
It is, but this government has been in power for 2 years, and in fact, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been in power since 2016. So they've had plenty of time to get the appropriate levels of social and affordable supply to where they should be. But there are things a government could do now to accelerate supply. So, for example, we have about 19,000 social housing units somewhere in the social housing pipeline, but it's taking far too long to deliver them, not because of the issues you've outlined, but because of bureaucracy from the Department of Housing. That needs to change. But crucially, government isn't investing enough in the delivery of these homes. So like I say, very small levels of investment in affordable housing, and not just this year, but from now till 2026, that needs to change in the budget. And social housing behind target, and again, levels too low. So it is about accelerating delivery of social and affordable housing, but it's also about increasing the levels of investment to deliver the homes that people need. The other thing is, on the private sector side, particularly because of construction sector inflation, we are hearing that there will be a nervousness among private developers and builders to commence new schemes next year. There could be good value for money for the state to step in and acquire those as turnkeys, not just for social, but also for affordable housing as well. And
there, are you saying to contract these developers and say, I know you're a bit nervous, but we'll buy them, we'll take them off your hands, and let's agree a price now?
Absolutely. Because,
but do you think they will? I mean, do you think that private developers, I mean, they've sat on SHDs that they've had permission for ages, hoping to make more money out of it, one presumes. So why would they sell to the state at a bargain basement?
Well, first of all, they have already started to do that. So last year, about half of all new build social houses were turnkeys. So what I suppose I'm proposing is, because the private sector may be nervous about developing next year, and of course, if they're on a site, they might have debt, and that debt is costing them something, so there would be an incentive to consider selling. Subject to good quality developments and value for money, the state could actually have an opportunity here to acquire these developments with contractors on site, and crucially, not just for social homes, but for affordable rental and affordable purchase. So I know some local authorities are already exploring this, but I think the minister should actively encourage it.
The people that Leo Varadkar would characterise as those who get up early in the morning and who work hard, who are middle incomes, don't get any breaks from the state at all, and they'd be saying, there is the state moving in. We had hoped to buy that house in Mulhuddart or Ashburn or wherever it is, and now the state has gone in and bought the bloody things, and we won't be able to find a house to buy.
In fact, those modest income people wouldn't be able to buy it if it was developed by the private sector. But under the affordable housing schemes that Sinn Féin has outlined in some detail, they would be able to buy and rent. So what I'm arguing is the use of turnkey developments, which up until this point by government has only been for social housing, should also be for affordable rental and affordable purchase. And that includes households up to about 85,000 euros gross income. So that's about 90% of the population. And therefore, that's really the only way they would be able to secure anything approaching affordability in terms of rental or purchase, because the private sector, as it currently stands, and the Daft.ie report confirms this today, cannot deliver affordable homes to rent or buy for working people, not just on modest incomes, but even above modest incomes. And that's why direct state investment to deliver those affordable homes is really the missing piece of the jigsaw at this point in time.
Okay, well, I'll read you some of the comments coming in. We're currently selling the second of our two rental properties. Biggest motivation for the timing are concerns that Sinn Féin will lead the next government. That's from Dara. Please don't allow owns misinformation to go unchallenged. The biggest reason for small landlords leaving the market is what Sinn Féin threatens to do with one-sided rights and no responsibilities on tenants. That's from Marie. I'm an accidental landlord and sold my house because of the tax I must pay. 50%, it's terrible. Sinn Féin are the reason that I'm leaving the market like so many others. Owen dodged your question. What exactly is their proposal regarding long-term tenancy contracts, therefore?
Yeah, so what we want to see is a reform of the private rental sector that is good for landlords and tenants, that gives tenants real security and affordability, but also that allows good landlords who provide a good service to make a reasonable rate of return.
What is your thing about security of tenure? You know, the whole question now, if you want to sell your property, you know, you can ask the tenant to leave. If they've been there a long time, they get a lot of notice. If they've been there a short time, they get a short bit of notice. But what is your situation in terms of security of tenure for tenants? That's what landlords want to know from you.
Sure. So our core proposals are, we want to ensure that where a landlord is selling the property, tenants' rights are protected. We've made a proposal which was initially proposed by Focus Ireland.
What do you mean? Are you saying that you have to sell the house? No, I'm just clarifying. Do you say you have to leave the sitting tenant when you sell the house? Is that?
And again, Pat, if you let me answer the question, I'll do that. We made a specific proposal, which was initiated by Focus Ireland, where a landlord who had bought a rental property with a Section 23 tax relief, therefore bought it to be a landlord, would have to leave the tenant in situ when selling the property, but only for that category of private landlords. Semi-professional and accidental landlords wouldn't be affected by that proposal. What we've also said is two very specific proposals. The first is residential tenancy board determinations should be legally enforceable. That's good for landlords and for tenants. And we also have to end the appalling situation where large institutional investors pay no tax on their rent roll, while single property landlords pay a significant burden of tax. So there's a set of reforms that we have there which we believe are good for tenants and landlords. But be very clear, landlords have been leaving the market for 4 years. It's not because of Sinn Féin, it's because of government policy and bad government policy. And we actually think that the policies we have for the private rental sector would stabilise that sector.
Are you in favour of giving tax breaks then to the mom and pop landlords or the accidental ones? Because that's what they're all complaining about. They pay, by the time they pay everything, whatever little bit they've left, they say they pay over 50% in tax. Are you in favour of giving them a break?
Well, keep in mind, those landlords already receive a very significant tax relief, 100% mortgage interest relief, which is a very significant contribution by the taxpayer. But we have called for a review of the tax treatment of all landlords by revenue. We want to see what is the best tax treatment to ensure that landlords all pay a fair share of tax, but also to try and stem the loss of landlords from the rental market. It's unsure at this point in time, and I talk to lots of landlords, that if you were to make some additional tax reliefs, given the high property prices, that those landlords would remain. But we do want to see that review, and we do want to see a single level of tax imposed on all landlords, rather than the current situation where one set of landlords pay the marginal rate of tax and others, the institutionals, pay nothing
so
at all.
So the question is, should it go up to 50% for the real estate investment funds, or should it go down somewhat and meet halfway these institutional landlords versus the mom and pops?
And the best way to answer the question as to what's the most appropriate rate of tax is, in the first instance, for revenue to be asked to conduct a very short time limited review of the tax treatment of landlords, because it's quite a complicated picture, and then see where that takes us. But what I would say, Pat, is irrespective of that, we have a situation where today large numbers of landlords continue to leave, and that's driving up levels of homelessness. And there are other interventions government could make now to try and tackle that, such as, for example, purchasing some of those properties, particularly where there are half-arised tenants in situ.
Supply. So, you know, so the local authority has it, they house someone on their housing list, and that means that the person with money in their pocket and a deposit can't buy it. You know, a house is just a house. You can't.
It is, but we have 100,000 properties in the private rental sector in which social housing tenants are living them, subsidised by HAPRAS or rent supplement. Unfortunately, because a large number of landlords are leaving and there isn't an adequate supply of social housing delivered by government, very, very large numbers of people are becoming homeless, including a 40% increase in child homelessness in the last year. So where there are HAP or RAS tenants in situ in a private rental property when the landlord is selling, we want to see, subject to value for money and proper checks on the quality of the property, the local authorities able to purchase those properties to keep the social housing tenant in place and to stop them becoming homeless, because we're seeing the most dramatic increases in all categories of homelessness in the last number of months.
Owen, and go-
government needs to step in to address that as well.
We have to leave it there. Ona Brin, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest, and their party spokesman on housing, local government and heritage.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.